Well, good morning and welcome to worship for the fourth Sunday of Advent this year. We've moved back to virtual worship for a while. And as we start this morning, I want you to listen to these words that come from Psalm 26, verses 8 through 12. Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with those who are bloodthirsty, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. I lead a blameless life. Deliver me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground. In the great congregation, I will praise the Lord. This morning also, as we begin this time, I want to center on the topic and the understanding for the fourth Sunday of Advent. Let me read for you from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her father, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. People of God, today we hear the story of an angel appearing in a dream. Joseph was a righteous man who heard God's messenger. Because of his deep faith, he trusted in God's steadfast love. When we know this very love of God, we can extend it to others. Today we celebrate the steadfast love of God. We hope in the one who will come. We pray for God's peace to prevail. Our joy will come with God's servant. God's love never ends. People of God, remember you are God's beloved children. We celebrate God's steadfast love. This day especially. Let's go now to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord, we come before you in a time of turmoil and unsettledness. We come before you in a time when we're not sure what's around the corner, what the next day or week or month might even bring. We've lived in the midst of this pandemic for almost 10 months now, and it's not been an easy time. But we know that as we come to you, that you are a God of steadfast love, a God who continues to reach down into the midst of this world guiding, directing, inspiring, encouraging, bringing grace and mercy and peace and comfort and love. Lord, thank you for being that kind of God. Sometimes we get caught up in what's going on and we don't notice that you're present with us. But the truth is, you are always right where we are, seeking to love upon us and to allow us to know that you care for us. So, Lord, first we come to you and we confess to you our sins. We repent of them, moving away from them and moving closer toward you, that we may come to know you better, that we may come to experience you deeper. Lord, may you cleanse us and wash us and make us whole. May we know your forgiveness, and may we know that you've placed the very righteousness of Jesus Christ upon us because we've believed in what he's done for us on the cross. So, Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ being that atoning sacrifice. That sacrifice that opened an avenue and a way and a door to you, that we might have a deep and powerful relationship with a God who does have everlasting, steadfast love for us. Lord, thank you for Jesus' willingness to step away from all of his rights and privileges in heaven and to come here upon this earth first as a child. A child that needed our help, our tender loving care also. But a child that grows into a man that guides us to understand that if we develop a deep relationship with you and trust upon the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, that we truly can live the spiritual journey that you're asking us to live. We do come to you with many concerns this morning. First off is the concerns for the healing from this pandemic. May that healing happen soon. May it be either by your hand alone or through medicine and scholars and technicians and doctors and nurses. However that healing might happen, we pray for this pandemic to end soon, that we might be able to gather once again as your people in the midst of the church, and that we may be able to share fellowship and talk with one another and spend time in each other's presence, sharing meals together and sharing hearts. Lord, thank you for hearing that prayer and bringing an answer already. We also think about those who have lost loved ones, and we pray that you would comfort their hearts, that you would be there to help them and encourage them and lift them up at this time that they feel like they're walking through the darkest of valleys. And Lord, we pray for those who are sick in any way, whether it be because of cancer, because of COVID, because of any other reason, and we ask for your healing hand to be upon them, and that you would bring them back to full strength, and that they can come and worship you and praise you and give you thanks for healing them. We also pray especially for caregivers. We pray for those upon the front lines of this pandemic. We pray for doctors and nurses that have to face this day in and day out in trying to help folks. And we pray that you would bring your comfort, your wisdom, and your insight. We also especially want to pray, Lord, for those who don't know you and have a personal relationship with you at this time. Maybe some have not heard about Jesus Christ yet. And maybe some have heard, but they've not made a decision to accept what he has done for them. So we pray, Lord, that you would work in their hearts and that you would guide us and direct us to them, that we might be able to share with them the awesome and incredible things you've done for us, how you've saved us and given us eternal life, how you've lifted us up and walked with us day in and day out. Lord, help us to be bold and courageous in sharing that with others, that they might come to know you in a deep way, that we might all spend eternity together in worship and praise of you in the eternal kingdom. Be with us now as we pray the words that Jesus taught his disciples when they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I do want to let you know that tomorrow, be in prayer for a group of individuals that will gather together to record our Christmas Eve candlelight service, so that it can be posted later this week on the church's YouTube page with a link on Facebook, so that you and your family on Christmas Eve can experience that service once again as we look for the coming of the Christ child, as we come to understand what that means in our world and what has happened when the Messiah came into this world. So I hope that you will have time this week to spend with your family in worship, watching the candlelight service, bringing glory and honor to God for what God has done for us. Our scripture today centers upon Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through verse 38. Listen to these words. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is a story that we've heard year after year upon Christmas. It's a story that many folks know well. But there are folks in our world that celebrate Christmas in a very secular way, and they don't think about this story. They don't think about the angel Gabriel coming to a teenaged Mary and telling her what was going to happen. They don't know about Mary's shock and misunderstanding of how can this even happen. They don't know that Mary took those words that the angel said to her and pondered them. There are many that know about Jesus Christ, but there are few who know Jesus Christ in a very personal way. So as you listen to these words, I hope that God touched your heart in a way that made the story new. I'm thankful to Saint Ignatius, who taught in his time and has been passed down through the centuries about how we need to meditate and think about these words and how we need to look deep into these words. And Saint Ignatius said that we should actually step into the scriptures and be present in the story so that we can experience it anew and afresh as though we were right there at that moment. I'd like to kind of guide you through this in one way and think about this. What would this be like? To be Mary and not to understand as the angel Gabriel comes to her. You see, God's messenger comes to her and gives her a word about what is going to happen and what is going to happen in the days ahead. And she's very perplexed and very confused and even very afraid. And the angel says to her, "Don't be afraid, because you are a favored one. God loves you and God cares for you, and you will be part of an incredible happening here upon the earth." Imagine Mary trying to get a hold of that and trying to understand that. And she even asked the angel, "How can this even happen? Because I'm a virgin. It's not possible for this to happen." And the angel tells her that the Holy Spirit will come upon her in a tremendous way, and that's how she'll conceive. And she will give birth to this son and name him Jesus. He will be called Emmanuel, God who is with us and present with us. He will be the Messiah, and he will rule the people and rule the world. Mary finally comes to a point where she says, "If this is so, just let it happen. I give myself fully to you that I might be who God needs me to be." As I look at this story and think about Saint Ignatius and him saying that we should step into the midst of the story, maybe we should look into our lives and we should look around in our lives and see those times and those opportunities when God's messenger comes to us. I'm confident by reading scriptures that God's messenger has come to each and every person. Sometimes people pay attention. Sometimes they don't even notice. So I want to ask you to think about, where are those times in your life that God's messenger has come to you? Did you notice? Were you present? Were you able to see that God was right there and God's messenger giving you a message? Did you notice? Maybe you noticed and maybe you turned away and looked in the other direction because you weren't quite sure that you wanted to hear what God had to say to you. But I'm here to tell you that God is still speaking right to you today. That God's messenger has come and has spoken a message to you and wants you to be part of what God's doing in the midst of this world. So I think the first thing that we need to do is ask ourselves, are we going to listen to the message that God brings to us? Or are we going to turn away? Once we hear that message, though, there's an additional step that we must take. Just as Mary did, we must take a moment to listen deeply to the words that were shared with us. What do those words mean, and what is God saying in the midst of that word, and what is God trying to tell us as we listen to the message? Do we do like Mary did and ponder those words and spend some time thinking about them and what God means by sharing those words with us? Are we taking those words in, not just hearing them, but taking them to our very hearts and pondering the meaning of those words? You see, the messenger does come. The messenger does share a message, but the next step is ours. Are we going to listen? Are we going to take them in, and are we going to ponder those words? And as we ponder those words, sometimes what happens is we might do as Mary did and say, how can this even possibly happen? How can this happen? This is so far beyond what I believe, what I understand, what I've experienced. Are we going to take those words, ponder upon them, and are we going to be able to say, you know what? God can do this. Are we willing to consider that when we hear the message that God has for us? Are we willing to consider that God has the ability, the power to work in and through us and make us part of the kingdom of God in such a tremendous way, even when we're not sure that it can happen? One of the verses that really stood out to me this week as I have read this scripture over and over again that really speaks about nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. Look at verse 37. For no word from God will ever fail. You hear what that says? The angel Gabriel tells to Mary that no word from God will ever fail. The message that God brings to you from God's messenger, the message that we need to hear and not turn away from, the message that we need to meditate upon and ponder upon, it may seem impossible to us, but God is able to fulfill those words. God is able to use us. God is able to bring about what God wants to do when we are willing to be part of the kingdom of God. Or you see, that's the last step. The step that we end this passage on, verse 38, let me read it for you again. I am the Lord's servant, Mary said. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. When we hear God's message and what God is saying to us, when we know that it's God's messenger and those words reach deep into our hearts and we ponder and meditate upon them and we say, yes, God can bring this about. When we realize what God is getting ready to do in us and through us, do we give ourselves completely to God's work? Mary was willing to do that, and I'm willing to say that she didn't fully understand all that would happen, all that would go on in her life with her son, Jesus. Later in the Gospels, we find her standing at the cross, watching her son die upon the cross. Mary probably didn't understand that that was a necessary thing as Angel Gabriel came to her and said, here's God's message for you. But thanks be to God that Jesus not only came into the midst of our world as our Messiah, as our Savior, as the one who was willing to walk for us and to die upon the cross. The story is incredible. And yet sometimes we know it, but sometimes we don't let it sink deep into our hearts. You see, God's messenger has come to you. And God's messenger has spoken God's word to you. Have you heard it? Are you willing to listen and to take it in? Are you willing to meditate on it and ponder upon it? And as you think about those words that God's messenger is sharing with you, and you say, this is impossible, it can't happen because of this or that, are you willing to do as Mary did and say, Lord, I know that you are powerful enough, that you are able enough, and that you can bring about these words in my life. So therefore I give my whole life to you to be used for your kingdom, however that might be. Are you willing to say those words? Are you willing to admit to God's messenger that the message you have heard is for you? And that God wants to work that message through you so that others might come to know Jesus Christ? You see, as I look into Mary's story, these questions continue to come to me. It's not a decision you make once and say that's it. It's an ongoing, continuing process that I realize each day as I get up, I need God's messenger to speak to me. I need to hear the words from the Holy Spirit. I need to ponder those words and know that God can bring them about. And I need to give myself fully, as Jesus Christ did, coming first as the Christ child, a Messiah that comes into the midst of this world needing our help, but then a Messiah that grows into a man willing to give his all for us. And this story is asking the same question of us. Are we willing to give our complete self to what God wants to do in this world? Let us pray. Lord, as we look at Mary's life, we see an incredible thing done through her life. But it was done and it happened because she was willing to give her life over to you and allow you to do that in her and through her. And the truth is that you want to birth the Messiah in our lives too. And you want that birth to happen in such a way that other people could see not only the Christ child, but could also see the one who went to the cross to die for our sins, and the one who was resurrected with victory over death to be our Messiah for all eternity. Lord, it's that same Christ child that you want to be birthed in and through us. May we have the willingness, may we have the desire, may you give us the boldness and the courage that we need to hear your message, to ponder it, and to allow you to work it out in our lives by giving ourselves fully to you. Help us, Lord, that we might allow that to happen just as Mary did, so that we can see other people establish and deepen a relationship with you. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. May the incredible love of God be known in your life in a tremendous way. And may the very giving of Jesus Christ be your way of life. And may the Holy Spirit guide you and direct you on the spiritual journey ahead, so that people will not only know the birth of the Christ child in and through you, but they will also know the Savior willing to die for them. May you and your family have a blessed Christmas, and may you know the Christ child in a deeper way. Amen.